1 John chapter 3, verse 24 reads this way. It says, "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening. Lord, we do thank you so much for the privilege of gathering together as your people here at Northwood Baptist Church. And then, Lord, that you've given to us a wonderful country that we might freely serve you and seek you, Lord. And we do thank you for that. And so, Lord, we pray and ask for your blessing this evening as we gather together to hear from you, that you would guide us and fill us with your Holy Spirit. That again, Lord, you might be highly exalted and lifted up and our lives empowered for your honor and glory, that we might shed abroad, Lord, your light and the salt of the earth you've called us to be, and that your grace might be seen, and Lord, that you might use us to lead others to you, that we might see souls saved, baptized, and discipled for your honor and glory. So tonight, Lord, we ask that you bless us, Lord, and build Northwood for your honor and glory, and bless all of your churches and your missionaries, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message this evening is, "By the Spirit which he hath given us," or simply, "Keeping the Beloved on Track." Amen. Keeping the Beloved on track. Now, I don't know about you, but I need the Lord to keep me on track. Amen. Our hearts are prone to wander. The world can be alluring and distracting. Not just alluring. Not that the world maybe would allure us, but it can distract us, can't it? It can say, "Oh, look over here and look at this problem and look at that problem." And what is that going to do when we look at this problem and look at that problem, right? It just distracts us when we could be seeking the Lord and walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where our hope, our help, amen, and all the blessings of God come from. And so, Lord, help us tonight not to be distracted. So tonight, we'll consider three important truths that we are to experience by the Spirit that God has given to us. You know, the Lord gave us the Holy Spirit for a specific purpose, and that is that he might be honored and glorified, and that we might experience him by his power. See, it's one thing to hear about the Word of God. How did we come to the Lord Jesus Christ if not by the power of the Holy Spirit? It was the power of the Holy Spirit that convicted us and showed us. Conviction is one thing, and that's important. That shows us we're in trouble. That's a good thing. We can't be saved until we know that we are lost and condemned and undone, not because of what we have done. What we do in our sin nature is based on because of the way we were born, right? We were born sinners, and then God reveals to us his love and his mercy and his grace by the Spirit of God that welcomes us. Listen, we come running into the arms of our Heavenly Father and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all this comes about, again, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we thank the Lord for that. That's what brings everything to pass in our hearts and minds. So tonight, we want to consider three important truths that God wants us to experience by his Spirit that he gave us. The first one is the message from the beginning that we should love one another. This is the message, and we'll see why that's so important. Secondly, hereby perceive we the love of God. So God wants us to perceive his love. And then thirdly, hereby we know that we are of the truth. That's important. God wants us to know that we're to love one another. God wants us to experience his love toward us. And then God wants us to know that we're of the truth. Now, think about this just for a moment. He's talking to believers, is he not? He is talking to believers. So you would think maybe that automatically, even because of the Holy Spirit, that we ought to love one another, but that's not necessarily the case. So God is teaching us how that comes to pass. And then you would think also, as a saved child of God, that we should perceive the love of God. And we'll see what that word perceive means here in just a moment. But this is something that we learn that God is doing. So what happens is God brings us to the place to where he says, this is the fruit that I can produce. This is the work that I can do. And so what we do as believers then, we don't manufacture what God says he's going to produce. We come to the realization and the understanding, and then we call upon the Lord to produce these things that he's promised to do in our lives. But if we don't know about them, remember at different times there were believers and they asked them, have you received the Holy Spirit? Remember what they said? We didn't know there was a Holy Spirit. And they were saved children of God, but they didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. And God intends all of his children to know, because that is the dunamos power, is it not? The dynamite power that God has given to believers. And so let's not make light of the Holy Spirit. Let's not forget about the Holy Spirit. Let's allow him to work and function as God has designed him to in our lives. So back up with me, if you will, to verse 11. And let's take a look at this message from the beginning that we should love one another. Look at verse 11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Now, what beginning is he talking about? Well, we do know that the Lord Jesus Christ said that to his disciples while he was on the earth, did he not? Just before he was getting ready to go to the cross. But then notice what John says. Question, where did the gospel and grace of God enter into humanity? Where was the first place? Well, notice what he says here. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. And so where did the gospel of God's grace enter into? Was it not when mankind fell that the grace of God entered in? So from the very beginning, he's saying that we should love one another. And then he uses Cain as an example. So he is going all the way back to the book of Genesis. And he's saying, this is the way that the child of God ought to walk. And we ought to walk contrary or opposite of what Cain did. Now, let me ask you this. Why would God say that to his children? Wouldn't you just think, well, a child of God wouldn't do that? Well, God knows this. We still deal with the fallen nature, do we not? And so we have to realize that we have a choice to make every day. We will either submit and yield the right of way to the Lord and the Spirit's guiding in our lives to walk in his ways, or we will walk, and there's only one other way to walk. We will either yield and walk to the Lord's way, or we'll walk how? Our own way. We'll go our own way. And we don't want to do that. You remember what the Bible says in the book of Judges? They followed this cycle, didn't they? And the Bible says that every man did that which was right, where? In his own eyes. You know, the lost world out there that has rejected the Lord, do you know that they think they're right? They believe they're right. They're not right. And so we understand, and it shouldn't really surprise us that the world rejects the Lord, should it? Shouldn't surprise us. And why do they do that? The Bible says they're blinded. The Bible says that they're under the power of their father, who was our father before we got saved, the devil. And, you know, a lot of people are offended by that at different times. The devil was never my father. Well, he was mine when I was lost. Until the Lord adopted me and gave me a born-again experience, right? Birthed me into his family, and we praise the Lord for that. And so, notice again, he says, not as Cain. So this is the genesis of brotherly love. Can we say that, since it's in the book of Genesis? Not as Cain, verse 12, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And then the Bible says this, and wherefore slew he him? Why did he kill him? And the Bible says here, because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. And do you remember, listen, fathom this thought here just for a moment, and just to kind of go back in your remembrance of that story. Remember when Abel offered the acceptable sacrifice and Cain's was rejected? Do you remember what God did for him? Didn't God go to him and tell him, you know, if you do right, won't you be accepted? Did you ever stop to think about that? God told Cain, if you just do the right thing and give the right offering, because that displays your trust in what God said. See, what the problem was that Cain said, I'll do what I believe. So who was God in Cain's life? himself or the devil, right? I'm not going to do what God said. And God said, if you do what's right, if you do what's been asked, won't you also be accepted? And so what did he do? He went out and had a conversation with his brother and fathomed this thought. The reason why the Bible tells us he killed his brother, the Bible says this, because his own deeds were evil. His own heart was wicked. And so he rose up and he killed him. So again, wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Wow, isn't that amazing? So let's not be surprised when the world does not like us. Let's not be surprised. It's important because it could be discouraging. Sometimes we would say, look, why? I mean, we've not done anything to them and we're not doing... We just, listen, there are people out there that hate Christianity. Aren't there? It's the truth. There are people out there that would enjoy the death of Christians. In fact, let me just say this. In the whole world, aren't there people that are persecuting Christians and trying to kill them? And why is that? Because the Bible says their own works are evil. And true Christianity, now listen, they try to lump in, and you need to be careful about this, they try to lump in the Crusades with Christianity. That had nothing to do with the true church. That had everything to do with man's idea of religion, nothing to do with the true church. God did not command any of that, ever. That was in the heart of mankind. So just because somebody says, well, look what the church did, no, that's not what the church did, that's what a self-proclaimed church did. And we have no part of that. We don't want to have any destruction like that. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy man's lives, but to save them. And so we thank the Lord for that. By the way, he begins with us, so he wants us. So he says, not as Cain. And so we see this genesis of brotherly love. And again, I believe that's really where the gospel started, don't you? The gospel of grace, the gospel of salvation. Then he says this in verse 13. This is important. Marvel not. Don't be surprised, my brethren. So he's speaking to believers. If the world hate you. Isn't that amazing? Don't be surprised if the world hates you. They have a different father. They have a different outlook or understanding or perception of what life is really all about. What ought to be the believer's perception of what life is really all about? What is life really all about? Is it about the things that we see that are temporary? Or is it about our relationship with the one who saved us and gave us eternal life that we believe and know we'll spend eternity with? That's what it's really all about. Listen, it's not that we're not in the world to do things in the world, but we're not of the world. We looked at Daniel this morning. He was a busy man in the world, but he was never of it. Did the world ever come before his God? And those presidents and those governors knew that and used the only thing. There was nothing they could get against Daniel. They knew that would be distasteful in the presence of Darius, except for creating and fabricating a law against his God. Boy, what a wonderful testimony. Amen? What a wonderful... If we're going to be accused of anything, may we be accused of loving our God and walking with our God with all of our might, all of our mind, and all of our soul. What a wonderful testimony. So, as we go on, notice what he says here. He says, don't be surprised. Marvel not if the world hate you. And then notice this. As we realize the love that we should be having by the grace of God one for another, as we understand that the world hates us, what does he say? Verse 14. He says, we know. And by the way, don't you like that word we? You know what John is saying? My fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We. This is our lot. Praise the Lord, amen. We're together in this. You know, I am convinced that John is not writing this to berate anybody, but to encourage us to understand how to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. I need to know how to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, again, he's saying this to believers because, listen, I've said this many times. Don't you believe that Peter really loved the Lord? Do you believe that Peter loved the Lord? Do you believe when Peter, now he didn't know this, but when Peter said, I won't deny you, don't you believe he really meant it? Don't you believe that he really thought he would not deny the Lord? The problem was he didn't know himself and Jesus did. And so this is why we have the Word of God, because we don't know ourselves and Jesus does. Amen? So he says, listen, we know. And so John is saying here, we are a group of God's children, redeemed ones, beloved ones. So he's saying, don't forget who you are. Walk with the Lord. Listen, of all things to keep preeminent and above all things is our love for God and our relationship with Him. So Lord, I don't want to walk my way, because here's one thing I've learned. My way is not God's way. Isn't that the truth? My way is not God's way. If I am not following the Word of God, I'm not walking in the Lord's way. If I am neglecting what God is, the instruction, God is teaching us how to walk His way. You know why He's given that direction to us? Because naturally speaking, we can't do it. But supernaturally speaking, we can if we realize this comes from God. And as a child of God, you and I, we are recipients of His grace to walk this way. Praise the Lord. These are exciting things. So he says, listen, when you realize the importance of denying self, remember what the Lord said? If you're going to follow me, what did he say you have to do? Let's try that again. Remember when the Lord said, if you're going to follow me, you have to deny somebody very important. We have to deny, listen, we, aren't we in this together? We have to deny ourselves. Because if we don't deny ourselves, God won't have any place. If we are full of ourselves, where's the Lord? We have tucked him away somewhere where he's not going to be effective. So if we're going to follow the Lord, self has got to be denied. What we feel, what we think, if it is contrary to the Word of God, we are missing this connection that God wants us to have. Listen, with him. God wants you and I to have a connection more than just a say-so connection, but an experiential connection. As we connect with the Lord spiritually, he will show us and give us experiences. So here it is, ready? Why did Daniel love the Lord the way that he did? Question, did Daniel have experiences when he was taken away into captivity? Do you remember? And Nebuchadnezzar was going to wipe out all the magicians and him also and all his friends. And they got together and had a word of prayer, and God gave him the dream to understand so he could tell him. So what was happening right there? And by the way, did Daniel deny himself to seek the face of God? And did God bless him? And you know what happened to Daniel? Daniel said, he's my life. Was he not his life? If it wasn't for the Lord, where would he have been? He would have been wiped out. So more important than anything else, listen, he had this working. He had this God-working relationship with God. Amen. And that's what he wants to do with us. And you know what? Listen, I want you to know. I'm just going to tell you the truth. It's my plan all along, by the way. But here it is. Here it is. Let me ask you this question. Do you will to have God's will completely, wholeheartedly? In other words, Lord, I'm willing to lay down my will and receive your will alone. Amen. Now, here's my confession. Ready? I have to ask God to lay my will down, but I'm willing for him to lay it down. Amen. See, I don't have the strength to lay down my will. I want to ask, do you? I don't. But I'm willing, God. I need you, God, to lay down my will. Because if he doesn't do it, I can't do it. Isn't that the truth? And in that, Lord, I can deny myself, if you'll do it. But here's the thing, I am willing to have God lay it down for me. So here's the question, are we tonight willing for God to lay down our will? Then he'll do the work. Amen. Then we don't have to worry about it, do we? See, the focus is I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this for God. I'm going to do this for God. We'll fail every time. But if we're willing to have God lay down our will, we can ask him, and do you think he'll do it?
Yes.
He will do it, won't he? Let me show you something important. You're right there in the book of 1 John. We're going to come back here, but go to chapter 5 just for a second. Now listen, look at verse 14. And this is the confidence. Is confidence a good thing in God?
Yes.
Yeah. And this is the confidence that we have in him. That's God, right? In fact, let's just do this. Look at verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now watch this. And this is the confidence that we have in him. Listen, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us.
Amen.
Do you believe that? Now watch this. Let's just finish this up. Look at verse 15. And if we know that he hear us, listen, whatsoever we ask, we don't think, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him.
Amen.
Is that powerful? Let that soak in. So here it is. Ready? It is God's will that we deny ourselves, is it not?
Yeah.
Now here's the truth. I can't deny myself. I want to deny myself. And so, I've come to that realization in my life, right? But here's the thing. Is it God's will that I deny myself?
Yes.
God, I'm willing to deny myself. I want you to do it. By the way, is that God's will? Question, did God hear me in that prayer? And if he heard me in that prayer and it's his will he perform that?
Yes.
Is it as good as done? That's where we get in step with the Lord. See, that's what God wants us to experience. But we've got to be ready to do business with God. And I will just tell you, if you take God seriously, he'll take us seriously.
Amen.
If we take God seriously, he will take us seriously. If we're really ready to do business, and by the way, no better time than the present to do business with God. It's never too late. And today is always a good day. Amen? Yesterday's gone, tomorrow's not here. Today is a good day to get things going with the Lord. Okay, now let's go back to our text. Chapter 3, and again, look at verse 14. We know, and by the way, when we see that we love the brethren, and the world hates us, he says, verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And by the way, he's speaking to believers. Is he not? So if we're not, listen here, it just stands to reason, if we're not walking in the life of God, we're walking in death. As a saved child of God, we can walk in death. Can we not? Let me make it all make sense to you. When David had Bathsheba's husband killed, was he walking in life or death? That's easy, isn't it? And we learned that he was a man after God's own heart. But at that particular moment, he was walking in death, was he not? So is it possible for you and I to walk in death? That's why the Word of God is here. See? It comes down to this. Do we want to do business with God? Or do we want to lean on our own understanding and do things what we think instead of what God says, ah, bless? That's what it comes down to. Is it too late for Northwood Baptist Church? Is Northwood Baptist Church doomed to failure when God has promised to bless his church? It's never too late. But see, the focal point has to be God alone. Has to be God alone. And it has to be God alone with us. We have to be willing to take God, listen, at His word in our life. See, we can just say, well, the problem's out there somewhere. Problem's out there. It's out there. Where's the problem? Right in here, in my life. See, we can never really do business with God where we will honor God until, remember the old song? It's me, O Lord. It's me. Not just standing in the need of prayer, but standing in the need of your power in my life. And you laying down my will for yours. We have to tell him we want him to do that. He will not infiltrate our lives. He's not going to trick us. We have to say, Lord, I want my will laid down for yours, but I need you to do it. I can't do it. We can't. We can fool ourselves and think we are, but we won't. Won't happen. Here's the will of God, and the word of God is a tall order by ourselves. We can't do it. We need the Lord. So he says, we know, so God wants us to know, verse 14, that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother, verse 15 right there, is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. That ought to be like a sobering eye-opener. That's what God has said, right? You and I would have never dreamed to put that in the Word of God. That's God's doing. And we thank the Lord for that. He's the enabler, is he not? He says, this is an important truth. Don't forget this. And then he says something here in verse 16. He says, hereby perceive we the love of God. So what is that hereby and that word perceive mean? Well, hereby is by this means, and the word perceive there is the Greek word gnosko. You've heard that before probably, gnosko. That means to learn and to know. It sounds like it, doesn't it? To gnosko something. I don't know. Anyway, to know something. And so God wants us to know. He doesn't just want us to just be off in the distance. It's an experiential knowledge. Listen, did Daniel know that God was faithful? Yes. Did Darius learn that God was faithful? Yes. Absolutely. Did Paul learn in whatsoever state he was in therewith to be content? Isn't that what he said? I've learned. And so this is not something that's just automatic. This is something that God brings us to. He brings us to the living waters. He brings us to the manna. Amen? He brings us to the truth. He's the enabler. But listen, the disciples of all things were told to wait until the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them. And souls needed to be saved even back in that day. But you know what God was saying? Wait, listen, Jesus himself did not go out without the Holy Spirit and start his ministry. So notice what he says, hereby perceive we the love of God. Listen to this, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I can't do that without God. Listen, it's just a crazy thing. You know what they say about living sacrifices? They've got a bad habit of crawling off the altar. You and I are living sacrifices, and we will crawl off the altar with the best of intentions. We need the Lord, amen? But whoso hath this world's goods, and so he's saying about laying down our lives, this is really a lesson in sincerity. But whoso, verse 17, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? He says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but he says this, but in deed and in truth. Let it be carried out by action. Let that love not just, listen, we could say, oh, you know, we love the brethren. But he says, let it come from the Lord. Let it be a genuine thing that we minister, that we express by the doing of the love of the things that God would have us to do. So, verse 19, and this is the last thought. Another, hereby we know that we're of the truth. So 19 says, and hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. And that's God. That we are walking upright. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Some people, they are overwhelmed. They are overwhelmed by self-condemnation. That's like another extreme, right? Where my goodness, am I saved? You know, they've trusted the Lord. They know that they have eternal life, but they have this self-condemnation thing going on. And we can't serve the Lord flippantly, and we can't serve the Lord overwhelmed either. So there's a way to serve the Lord, and it's not by our emotions. It has to be by the Spirit of God. He's the one that calls us into check, right? So that we're not in the world, so that we're not overwhelmed by our past or whatever it is that we've experienced, and know that we're in the hand of God. So notice what he says here, verse 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Isn't that good? And get this, and he saved us anyway. Isn't that amazing? He saved us. He knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves, does he not? And he saved us. Praise the Lord. You know, I don't understand this. God loves us. We got the deal, didn't we? I don't think God got a whole lot when he got me. He thinks so because he gave his son. But the truth of the matter is, really, what are we? Here's what we are. Everything God has given to us. What is our breath? A gift from God. What is our heartbeat? What is our health? What is our existence? What is our intellect? What are achievements? What is everything that you have? Everything that you can do? What is that? From God. Everything. The time that we have on earth right now is a gift from God, is it not? Doesn't that put things in perspective? Lord, I'm nothing really. I'm not anything. Why did God save us? Why did God open up our understanding? You know, what should we really be concerned about? What should we really be concerned about? Just the Lord. Everything else is passing away. Everything else is passing away. Just the Lord. And notice what he says. Verse 20. For if our heart condemn us, get this, watch this. God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, listen, if our heart condemn us not, then we have the confidence toward God. Lord, if you condemn yourself, Lord, I need you to take this condemnation away. That's not how God... Do you think God intended us to serve him with a heart of self-condemnation? How if we're walking, and is not God greater than our heart? So can God take away that condemnation? If God is greater than our heart, can God take away that condemnation? Listen, this is a real thing, or God would not have put that in his word. And so notice what he says here, verse 22, again, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. God's put that in there more than once. So if you don't have confidence toward God, Lord, take that away so I can walk up confidence in you, not in myself. And whatsoever we ask, verse 22, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. You want to know what to ask God for? That, Lord, you enable me and do things that are pleasing in your sight in my life. I need the Lord. And then when we see ourselves doing those things, that's time for worship. That's a deliverance, isn't it? Naturally speaking, we can't do those things that are pleasing in the sight of God, naturally speaking. But by the grace and power of God, we can. And we're going to finish up here. So, verse 23, and this is his commandment, that you should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Do you get the drift here? He is talking to saved people. And he is understanding that we can't do this without him. So he's trying to direct our focal point to the Lord who can do all things. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on his name. Well, don't we believe already? Aren't we saved? Of course we are. He's talking to the brethren. But he's saying, if this is not being accomplished, it's because we're not looking to the Lord. Absolutely. And you know what? He says gladly. Gladly. But he's waiting for us to ask him. See, here's what has to happen. Lord, I don't want to fail you any. I don't want to excuse my failures anymore. After all, listen, it could be two ways. I'll never be able to straighten this mess out. I'll just have to wait till I get to heaven. Tell me where in the Bible it says that. Or it's under the grace of God. And so I'm just gonna let sin abound because grace does much more abound. Didn't Paul say, God forbid? God forbid. And so it's God is saying, if you will call on me to do this, I will do this, and it will cause our faith to flourish in the Lord. So we don't just know these things in our head, we're seeing them done in our lives, and when we're seeing that is the transforming, listen, that is the life-transforming power of God in the life of the believer that the believer will rejoice in and the world will see. Amen. Otherwise, we're just playing games. Just in case you wondered, guilty because of a lack of understanding. So again, let's just wrap it up right here. Last two verses. Verse 23, we'll do this one again. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments, plural, dwelleth in him. I want to dwell in him. I know you do too. And he in him. Did you get that? If we are dwelling in him... Listen, fathom this thought. If we are dwelling in the Lord, the supernatural result is we'll be keeping his commandments because we're dwelling in him and he's dwelling in us. Amen. Does that make sense?
Yes.
If we're not keeping his commandments, you're a saved child of God, but we're not dwelling in him. When we sin, is it not fair to say we're not dwelling in him?
Amen.
When David sinned with Bathsheba, would it be fair to say... He's a saved child of God, but he certainly wasn't dwelling in the Lord. He wasn't where God wanted him, wouldn't we say? Verse 24, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. Listen, and hereby we know, that he abideth in us. How? By the Spirit which he hath given us. Oh, we can't make light of the Spirit of God. That is the life-giving power to the believer. That is the transforming power of God in the life of the believer. That he wants to be actively working in our lives to make us like the Lord.
Amen.
And that's how we know we're abiding in him, because he's the one that gives us the victory.
Amen.
And if we're failing the Lord, it's because we've not given it over to him and asked him to perform those things. Listen, God is not done working at Northwood Baptist Church. But it requires you and I as individual believers in this body to be, get serious with the Lord and ask God to do this work so that he can use us in a dark and dying world that needs his light. But if his light's not in us transforming our lives, the world has nothing to see in us. It's hidden. I didn't say we weren't saved, but it's hidden in their eyes. But God wants his life in ours for you and I to enjoy and the world to see. Does that make sense?
Yes.
How does that work? By the Spirit which he hath already given. And that's how he keeps the beloved, that's you and I, saved child of God, on his track. Amen? Running his race for his honor and glory. And so, God says, I give you the invitation to receive or reject. It's your choice. Because God does not force his love on anybody, not even his own. We have to freely choose to say, Lord, I love you so much. I want you to lay down my life for yours. I want you to lay down my will for yours. I want you to perform your work in me for your honor and glory and our blessing. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne. Lord, we thank you for this reminder that you've given to all of us, Lord, tonight. You have given to us not just a reminder, but an opportunity to take you up on this invitation to walk with you in your power and grace for your glory and our blessing, if we'll have it. We've heard the knowledge, Lord. May we believe it, and then may we receive it. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.